Yes, you! You're looking sexy! Oh, and you're listening to the Kid Craddock Podcast. Kid Craddock in the morning.
I know we're what, 2 weeks removed from I Have a Dream Week, which we do every single year. We kick it off on
Martin Luther King's
MLK
birthday.
Day. Yeah, we kicked it off on MLK Day. And basically, you write to us and let us know what your lifelong dream has been.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a huge dream, you know, like climbing a mountain.
Yeah.
Or it could be a small dream, like riding a roller coaster with Big Al Mack because you're afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that wouldn't help.
No.
Make it worse.
Well, never probably.
Well, it's good to have somebody that's just as scared with you. We had so many entries this year that we decided to keep it going. And we have a really cool one today. I would like to welcome, we have a friend in studio with us, Vico Hernandez is in studio with us right now. What's up, Vico?
Hey, how's it going?
Is that short for anything, like Victor? Or?
Yeah, it stands for Victor.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's cooler.
You look like Vico.
Vico.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look like a Vico, you know?
I look like a
yeah,
Vico.
That's cool.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Cool people drop consonants.
Now, Vico, you wrote us a letter.
I did.
Do you mind if Kelly reads it for us
now?
Go
ahead,
it's real quick. Dear Kid Craddock Morning Show, my dream is to give a motivational speech to people and perhaps one day be a professional motivational speaker.
Nice.
There was a time when I almost gave up on myself. I thought there was no hope and felt alone. It got to the point where I thought there was no need to be in this world. There are a lot of young people out there going through the same thing, and I want to be able to help them get their life back on track. I have the vision and commitment, but not the resources. Please help me push this forward. Thank you, Vico Hernandez.
All right, Vico.
So how old are you, Vico?
I'm 27 years old.
Okay.
And when were you having the tough time?
I was like 20, 21 years old.
Yeah.
And just struggling a lot.
That's
what was
the time.
Going on? What was going on?
You didn't know what you wanted to do in the future.
Right. Well, more than anything, I felt like everything just kept falling on me.
Uh-huh.
I had lost my job. I was just partying, drinking, doing a couple of things here and there, like with substances. And so I felt like there was no exit. You know, I felt like the only exit for me was just taking my life away.
Mm-hmm. You felt like there was nothing, that it was not going to get better for you.
Right, exactly. But the most important thing about it is I felt like no one out there could relate to me.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't find anyone. I knew there was the people there. You know, people was there to help me out. I just felt like alone.
It's just hard when you're going through that because you don't want to bring that up on people.
Right.
You know, you don't want to turn into the complaining guy because then everybody starts turning, you know, slowly turning away from you.
So you hold it all inside.
Yes, I never told anybody. In fact, my parents, they knew until like 2-3 years after it happened. So since then, some of my friends don't even know about it now.
So what happened? You attempted suicide?
So the way this lay down is after I started like feeling this, there was this battle in my head, right? Constantly between the good old Vico that I knew it was in me. Mm-hmm. And also these crazy Vico who kept telling me, you know, you're never going to be anybody. You're just another individual here on this earth with no purpose.
The voice that kept pushing you towards partying and doing the wrong things.
Exactly. So one day I got a hold of a gun, and I said, you know, I'm just going to call it right?
You borrowed a gun from a friend.
I did.
And you had it in your hand and took it back.
I literally had it.
Okay.
So I had already designated a date and time. To do this, to make things a little more quite real, I had written a letter to my mom and my sister just telling them, hey, you know what? There's nothing that you guys did. That's your fault. I don't blame you guys for anything.
Wow.
This is all on me.
And while you're writing this letter, are you crying? You were crying,
right? Yeah. Just thinking about it now still gives me goosebumps because, you know, it's, I had nobody there.
Because you're literally writing the last words your mom is going to see. And you know this.
What was the turning point? Because obviously, thank goodness you're here now.
So the turning point was I put the letter down and I said, tomorrow's the day, right? So I'm just going to lay down. And so before I lay down, though, I said, you know what? So as a kid, I knew that there was God, right? This being who generally people pray to. So I lay down and I said, you know what, God? I know that as a kid, I used to talk to you. And I don't now, but if you do exist, like people say you do, do something about it, right? I feel like there's no one out there, so just help me out, man. Just do something for me.
Send me a sign.
Exactly. So I go to bed. Next morning, I wake up, turn the radio on, and so I'm driving just to this one park to do what I needed to do.
So you're in your car, on en route to your destination, your mm-hmm. final resting point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
With a gun you borrowed from your friend.
Yes.
Okay.
So as I turn the radio on, there's a song playing from Hillsong, United.
Uh-huh.
And it's a song literally telling me how valuable I am, how much God loves me, despite of the fact that I'm struggling. And it's like I'm listening to it, right? But I'm like, it can't be. It just can't be.
Song you've heard before?
I had never. You know, the funny thing, JC, I've never even heard the song now. So, and I'm constantly listening to music.
Yeah.
Listening to you guys, going to YouTube and stuff like that. And so I'm sitting in my car listening to this song, and all of a sudden it just turns into someone talking to me. You know, in my head, I'm mm-hmm. taking it like that. It's a song, but it's like someone's telling me, hey, Vico, it's going to be all right, man. It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
You can do this. You know, you can go through it. You're strong, right?
Music was mm-hmm. speaking to you.
Yeah. So I'm like, I stop because my legs are shaking. My hands are shaking. I'm like, I better stop before I kill myself in an accident.
Oh, wait.
Because the song is telling me that I have purpose.
But I mean, I thought that's what you were trying to do.
But now he's the song's changing his mind.
Yeah, so.
That's hilarious. That's,
you have to see how that's funny.
It's ironic.
I'm getting an accident and kill myself on the way to kill
ironic.
Myself. Okay, all right, so go ahead, Vico.
So I pull over and
are
I'm like.
You at the park yet or you're.
No, not yet.
Okay.
So I just pull over and I stop. And I'm like, I can't do this. You know, I'm shaking, and it's this overwhelming feeling just takes over me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I know better than this. You know, I'm like, I'm a kid who grew up like knowing that I can be somebody. Mm-hmm. I can be anything I want to be in life, right? I can help other people. But why am I feeling like this? So I'm like, I put the gun away. I turn around, go home, lock myself in the room. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to give it one more week, right? Maybe something comes up in that week.
Something good.
Yeah. And so, you know, thankfully, I'm here now. So the whole purpose behind this, my vision is to help other people. Mm-hmm. I know that there's individuals out there, kids, men, women, children, probably listening right now, right? Who probably are dealing with this,
yeah,
feeling like
sure.
this. And my vision is to help those, reach out to them and let them know, hey, it's going to be all right. If I did it, anyone can do it.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Did something happen that week, the following week, that made you realize life's worth living? Or was it just... And I mean, did something happen beyond that?
Did you talk to somebody that got you into the, I could speak for a living and reach people?
Nothing specifically like that. More than anything, I kept recalling the song.
This is a song.
I kept thinking about the song. And so it kept just playing in my head.
Mm-hmm.
The words, just, you know, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You know, you're strong. You know, I love you.
That's a good
that
story,
kind
man.
Of stuff.
And you haven't heard this song since you heard that
I have
on
not,
on the way to the park.
Mm-mm.
You have no idea who the artist was.
Hillsong, he said.
It was just a song,
right?
Yeah.
But as far as the song,
wow.
Look, I have one question. You saw a friend let you borrow the gun. Who did you tell the friend what you were borrowing the gun for? Or because if somebody asked me to borrow a gun, I'm like.
No.
Yeah, what do you say?
No questions asked.
Yeah. Why do you need to borrow a gun?
I'm going to a shooting range. I don't want to spend the money to rent one. I don't want.
Is that what you said?
No, I didn't say that.
JC could guess that.
So back in high school, I had a couple buddies, and some of them were like brothers, right, to me, because, you know, they're the guys that you usually hang out with and go out with and stuff like that.
Is it a gang or just?
No. Okay. Nothing like that. I was never involved in gangs.
She's out.
Give me a break.
Well, I mean, it's a fair question. If you're 21 and your buddies have guns, then.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just asking. But anyway, go ahead.
So I tell one of my buddies, hey, man, you know, I'm dealing with this. Like, somebody's trying to, like, do something to me, right? I feel like they've been chasing me and stuff like that. So I need a gun, right?
Just in case.
Just kind of, like, self-protection. I want to protect myself, right?
Okay.
But so it was a lie.
Right, it's definitely a lie. It's the biggest lie ever. So he's like, are you sure, Vico? And I'm like, yeah, man, I promise you, dude. I'm not going to do anything about it with it, right?
Right.
So that I shouldn't do. So he's like, all right, man, you know, I'm going to give it to you, but I trust you. You know, you never got it from me. Don't ever say you got it from me if it's ever taken away and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no worries.
Well, that person that you made up the story about that was coming after you, that was you. You were the one that was coming after yourself.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Did you give the gun back and tell? And
I threw it away. I threw it away. So
oh God, I'm sure he was.
He was not very happy about that.
Eventually, no. I
where that gun at now?
Like, he learned what happened, and I kind of share my experience with him. When I did, he felt kind of like, you know, he took some blame to it. He's like, man, I could have done a little bit different. But I say, you know what, man? Everything happens for a reason. God knows what might have happened had you not let me use that gun. You know, I could have probably gone through it another method, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at it and I said, everything happens for a reason. Just don't worry about it. You know, I'm so here. What? That's the most important thing.
What have you been doing? That was when you were 21 years old. You're 27 now.
So talking to Vico Hernandez.
Yeah. So what have you been doing the past 6 years? Have you been, you said you want to help other people. Have you been taking steps to do that?
So I realize now that I'm a little older. I'm still young, but I realize that you can do that on a daily basis, whether you're going to school or whether you're going to work. You can help individuals, right? The things you say, how you portray yourself around people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm constantly just sharing my experience, not specifically to the details, but sort of my experience with others, whether it's in church or at work.
I'd
say share the details. I mean, I don't know if there's more to it than what you just told us, but I mean, it's a very compelling story. I do think that a lot of kids are adults that are going through stuff. You know, you never know what's going on in somebody's life, you know? And I think people would benefit by hearing your story, the details.
And so many people hide it. You know, that's the thing. It's people hide it. And you go out and you could still smile and you could still act like nothing's wrong.
Right.
But when you're alone, like you said, that's when you're at your lowest.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. It'd be rich people. Poor.
Oh, anybody,
down the street all the time. I'm like, I wonder what's going on in that house. You know what I'm saying? What are they dealing with?
Yeah, everyone has a heart.
Sure.
Everyone has feelings.
Right.
You know. So on Friday after the show, Vico, you came by the studio. And you recorded a motivational message.
Yes.
We'll play that for you right now.
My name is Vico Hernandez. Today I'm going to talk to you guys about strength. So what do you do when you fall down? What do you do if you fall down once or twice? You get up, right? We all have to get up. What about if you fall down 20 times or 30 times or even 100 times? You have to get up. I tell you, life is a journey. And there's people who fall down in life and feel like they don't have the strength to get back up. I know that sometimes you feel like there's no one there to lend you a hand. They feel like they're going to quit, like we're just about to give up. A lot of us may feel like this. Some of us may even feel like you want to just break, right? Just give everything up. I want to challenge everyone in this room. I want to challenge every single one of you guys to believe in yourselves. We have the strength to get back up. No one's going to do it for you. You have to do it. No matter how painful it may feel, no matter what you're going through, you can get out of there and make it better, guys. Give it your all. You have that strength as well. You have to take action and get back up on your feet because you can, because you want to, because you want to show everybody that you can, but most importantly, because you have to prove yourself and also because it is in your nature to do that.
There you go.
Vico's dream is to become a motivational speaker. So what we'll do is we'll probably get you to do some more motivational speeches like that one, and we'll play them on a Monday. You know, to lift people up. Vico.
Motivation Monday.
Motivation Monday. Kelly, good job on that.
Where can people find you? I'm assuming you tweet a lot of motivational messages and things. You can give that handle.
Absolutely. I'm on Facebook. I'm constantly just posting things like that to reach out to individuals.
Here's what we'll do for you, Vico. We'll put your link up at kidnation.com.
Okay.
So if you want to get a hold of Vico, write him if you're going through what you're going through. I'm sure you're willing to help anybody.
Oh, absolutely.
I would like to talk to somebody in the next break that just benefited from what they just heard, because just like you heard that song and it meant something to you, that could carry it over just now, that somebody that might have been going through something similar to what you were going through at that time, and what you just said affected them and made them change their way. So maybe during the commercial break here, somebody's going through that, give us a call,
we'll
and we might talk to you.
800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK-IT.
Good job, Vico.
I am so glad you heard that song, man. I'm so glad you're still with us and you're making a difference.
I think that was very well done.
Yes.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show is back.
We have Vico Hernandez in the studio with us. He wrote us during I Have a Dream Week, and his dream is to become a motivational speaker because he went through extremely difficult times when he was around 21 years old, to the point where he was driving to a park with a gun he borrowed from a friend about to take his own life. And a song came on the radio. You haven't heard it since.
I never have.
We're trying to find it.
But Vico's been looking for it for years, and he hasn't found it. It might have just been one of those that it's a sign. And
Kelly found it in like 3 minutes, and you've been looking for it for like 5 years.
Vico would be so mad if you found that out.
Worst Googler ever.
And you want to become a motivational speaker, and you gave us your life story last break, and Al decided, hey, why don't we take some calls? That's a great idea, Al.
You never know. Maybe you motivated someone just in the last 10, 15 minutes. So let's go to the phone.
Sarah, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good this morning. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Wonderful.
Was it life-changing that you heard Vico last break?
You have no idea. I have chills right now because I lost my mom a year ago in December, and she was very, very sick before she passed, and I've been just soul-searching ever since then. I have two beautiful children, 5 and 3 years old boys, and I've been just trying to keep my head above water, and never, ever, ever have I gotten to the point of thinking, oh, I'm just going to take my own life. But within the last week, these thoughts started to surface. You know, I'm just so depressed. I'm so upset. I'm not doing much for my family. What does life look like without me? Yeah. And God never gives up on you. I'll just tell you that right now, because he's dropped so many little hints along the way. And this morning when I got in the car and turned on the radio and Vico was speaking, I mean, it's exactly what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
And God is using you. I just want you to know that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hmm. That means a lot.
Amen.
You rehearsal about it. Song moment.
Yeah, think about it. I mean, Sarah, you probably listen to us on your way to work, and then you go to work, and you don't hear us once you're in there. But the fact that you got in your car at the very moment that we had Vico on, and he reached to you that way, that's great.
Exactly. He was my song. Whatever song you were listening
that's
to.
Right.
You were her
right.
Song. Well, keep your head up, Sarah.
Sarah, right, keep that head up. You stay strong for your little ones, okay?
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm going to do fine. You guys are awesome, all of you. Keep rocking it.
All right, Sarah.
That's all we know how to do. Keep rocking it.
You have a great week.
And keep looking up, because that's where it all is.
Thanks, Sarah.
Way to go, Sarah.
We love you, Sarah.
Thank you,
Sarah.
Right. We love you. I love you guys, too. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Yeah, hey? That's powerful stuff.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know how low somebody has to feel when they have children to be thinking
exactly
about that. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad she heard you. Let's take Vanessa's call. Hey, Vanessa, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing good.
What's your story?
You've been dealing with depression for a long time, huh?
Yes. It's funny what he said about adults going through it, too. I'm 23 years old, and I was 16 when I found out why, you know, I was feeling so upset and nothing was changing it. I was 16 when I was diagnosed with clinically depressed. And, you know, every day it is a struggle. You know, you do have your highs and lows. And, you know, lately it has been rather low. I'm a parent to a wonderful, almost 2-year-old boy. And even with that, I mean, there are times where I'm like, God, this, why me? You know, it's just a number of things pile up. And lately it has been that way. And hearing that this morning was just so inspirational that someone else is going through it too, that someone else was, you know, in the same state I was and willing to take their time to help someone else. And I greatly appreciate that. I wish I had that when I was 16.
Yeah.
And you know, it is very refreshing. So I do want to thank you for doing that, and please keep doing that, because I know a lot of kids and young adults go through it too, and even if it is from a total stranger, it's very refreshing.
Yeah.
And I just want to say thank you for that.
Vico, your I Have a Dream may turn into a lifesaver for a lot of people.
Apparently it has. Yeah.
Vanessa, thank you so much for your call. You have a great day, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you guys. You guys are wonderful. Thank you so much.
And again, if you want to contact Vico and you're going through this, he went through this.
Yeah.
We have a way to contact him at kidnation.com. Because he definitely wants to help. Victoria, you're 18 years old, and you actually got so low that you tried to take your life last year?
Yeah.
Did hearing Vico help you this morning?
Yeah. I've just been going through some really tough stuff.
Yeah.
And it's my first year away from my family, and college, I just switched my major, and I'm not sure what I want to do anymore. And I've been trying to tell my family that I've found some things out for myself, but my mom didn't take it well, and she won't let me tell my grandmother. And I just feel like I don't have anyone.
You do. There's people out there that want to help you, Victoria.
Have you talked to anybody, Victoria, like a counselor or a friend or anybody?
I used to. I don't go to the counselor anymore. I moved, but
yeah.
I have a friend that I'm going to see today after school. So
trust me, Victoria, there are people. I had somebody really close to me attempt suicide, and fortunately they weren't successful. But it would have devastated me to the point where it would have rocked me for the remainder of my life if that would have actually happened.
Victoria, would it help if Vico maybe got in touch with you and talked to you after we get off the air? Because it sounds like what you're going through is pretty heavy and probably, we probably, you know, Vico's been where you are.
We can't fix it.
He could probably say something to you that could help more than anything we could say. Would that be okay if we put you on hold and get you in touch with Vico?
Yeah, that'd be okay.
Because you're still not doing very great, right?
Yeah, not really. I don't know what to do.
Okay.
All right, well, don't hang up, okay?
Please don't hang up. You know, Vico, this is what he wants to do is he wants to help people because he's been there. And he's here
six years later, and
it can get better, right, Vico?
Yeah, absolutely, exactly. Victoria, if I was able to do it, you can do it. We already have so much in common. Look at you. Your name is Victoria. My name is Victor.
This is meant to be.
So we already have so much in common, Victoria.
We're gonna start
calling you Vico. If I was able to do it, you can do it as well. You have to be strong. You have the strength. Right, so I'm going to help you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, don't hang up. I'm going to get your number, okay?
I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to set you up with Vico, okay?
Okay,
baby.
All right, baby.
Sweet thing.
Vico, I'm sure you know
the pain in her voice. When you're just awful.
It's become such a shameful thing to admit that you're clinically depressed. You know, I don't know why there's this stigma, because it's a real, it's a real issue, and it's hard because you start getting more and more quiet, I think, and you revert into yourself, like, well, because no one wants to hear me be so negative.
Right.
And then that's like the worst thing you can do is get really introverted about it, because then all you're just alone with your own thoughts, and no one is there to reason with you. And you're like, well, my parents don't want to hear about it, and I'm far away. And then you just start creating this, like, drowning pool that you can't get out of.
And I'm sure one of the questions you were going through in your head was, would people even care? If I took my life, would people care?
Exactly.
And the answer to that is 100% yes. You don't understand how many people would be impacted if you took your own life. Your family, your friends, those are the people you need to think about when this is going through your head.
I'm glad you're here. Hopefully we can talk to Victoria.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're getting Victoria's information. Yeah. Amanda, you had something go down with your brother that changed your life?
Yes, I did. Good morning.
Good morning.
My brother took his life 4 months ago, and he was 20 years old, and I got in my car this morning, and, you know, my family is still struggling.
Yeah.
You know, there's all the unanswered questions. And what could I have done? It, you know, was it my fault? Did I not call enough? Did I not tell him I loved him enough? And when I got in my car to drive to work, I heard Vico say, you know, he was talking about writing the letters to his mother and his sister and how it wasn't their fault, and that just really ticked me, and it felt like, you know, maybe my brother was, you know, coming through and speaking to me, saying, you know, it's not your fault.
I
think it's such a courageous thing to, you know, to want to talk about your story, and so many people don't talk about it, and I'm really thankful that there are people that do want to talk about it, because like Jenna said a minute ago, there is such a stigma.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it definitely is not your fault, Amanda. I hope you and your family understand that.
Yes.
Vico can tell you that. It's a lot of demons that go inside your head.
I can tell you for a fact, Amanda, that when I was dealing with that, the one thing that I wanted to do right before I did what I wanted to do was tell my mother and my sister, you know, it's not you, it's me. So don't feel, you know, don't take blame. Don't feel like you're the one or you took part in that. I'm sure your brother would love to tell you that now. And somehow he probably is, Amanda.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought, you know, and especially with they're getting ready to do the Out of the Walk, the national walk, and it's going to be in Dallas in April. And, you know, it's crazy that, you know, your dream is to be a motivational speaker, and this event is getting ready to happen. And, you know, it's being talked about, and it needs to be talked about, especially for young adults, because that's where it's really affecting a lot of people.
Yeah. Amanda, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
Thank you.
I'm glad people like you exist, Vico, because I'm generally in a good mood. And
you are. You're happy-go-lucky.
I see somebody that's not in a good
mood. You
can't
relate.
I can't.
It's impossible to have true empathy unless you've felt those kind of feelings of despair before.
And I don't know how to deal with it. I don't. And if I see somebody that's depressed, I'm like, cheer up. It seems so easy. Right. Just cheer. And see, my brain doesn't work I don't know. I'm not equipped.
And that's a frustrating thing to hear from someone. Yeah, you know, when you're depressed, you're like, oh, it'll be
I'm
fine.
Happy. Yeah.
It's just you choose to be sad. It's like sometimes it's a chemical thing and you feel so helpless. Yeah.
Well, I feel like we came across your letter for a reason, Vico, and
yes,
we could
absolutely.
Tell by the calls that we're getting. Again, you can get in touch with Vico, going by kidnation.com. And as always, we're here. You know, if you're having a bad day.
We're not experts.
We're not experts. But
we're talking to you.
I'm going to tell you to cheer up. So call Vico.
That's very helpful.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
If someone's really depressed, you know what makes them feel better? When somebody says, just smile. What have you got to be depressed about?
Yeah, that's what we need. No, that's the last thing you need.
I know.
You need somebody who understands like Vico.
Yeah.
So again, thank you, Vico Hernandez, for
thank
coming
you guys
by
for
sharing
you.
Your story. Sharing your story. And then Kelly gave
appreciate
you some good
that.
Advice. Write a book, dog. Write
I will.
Your book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your book.
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show.
As a huge football fan,
mm-hmm.
it's sad to realize that the Super Bowl is no longer the number one event during Super Bowl Sunday. The actual game is not the number one thing people are trying to watch.
Yeah.
It now has become the commercials. That's what most people are looking mm-hmm. for. Then the halftime show.
Halftime show, yeah.
And then the actual Super Bowl is probably the third most popular thing.
I have to disagree.
You disagree with that, Kelly?
I think the halftime show is more important than the commercials. Was my mic not on? Or was
there you go.
Something sounds funny in my hair.
But you would flip-flop the halftime show with commercials.
Because now they show you the commercials before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There's not
true.
That sense of urgency to sit there and if you miss it, you miss it.
My point being the game's not as important as
the game
those two
is not
things.
As important mm-hmm. as the halftime show.
Agreed.
You could flip-flop those two things. Halftime show, Katy Perry performed, kicked it off with Roar, which ended up getting Jenny Stuckey $200.
Nice.
During a Katy Perry Super Bowl.
It was a safe bet, so it wasn't a big win, but that's the win.
And Katy brought it.
Yeah.
She
was theatrical.
Fireworks show, when they showed the perimeter of the arena, the stadium.
I was teary-eyed.
That was awesome.
God bless America.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
She's flying around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know what you guys thought of the moment right here at the end of Roar, where the lion goes up and roars, but
she mouths it.
I thought that was pretty funny looking.
Yeah. It was.
But aside from that, great performance from Katy Perry.
Let's just say, right, behind the scenes, JC was not impressed by Katy Perry.
The only thing I was not impressed about was I felt like her dancing was like she was running through it.
Because Katy is known for her dance moves.
Well, it's the Super Bowl. You know, give it a little, little extra.
We've all seen Katy Perry perform. She dances that way.
She's not a dancer.
JC felt a little flat.
My opinion is I've seen her dance a little bit harder, but I felt like she sang extremely well, and she was singing live, so maybe that took away from it.
Yeah, a lot of it
was a lot of live in there.
Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz hit it, you know.
Lenny Kravitz came out. What song did they sing? Kiss the Girl?
I Kissed the Girl.
I was kind of surprised she did that one. But that's okay. And she stayed covered up. I mean, she didn't show a lot of body parts.
No risk of a malfunction of any sort.
She stayed covered up with that fire suit.
Her outfits were a little weird. But
look at Lenny
that's
go.
What she does.
Lenny can still hit those high notes.
Oh, yeah, dude. That dude's just cool. You look up cool in the dictionary, the picture of Lenny Kravitz with a guitar.
There's very few dudes I would trade lives with Lenny Kravitz in a second. Bruno Mars, I'd trade lives with him too.
Yeah.
Man, so what a cool dinner party. Cool dinner party. Bruno Mars and Lenny Kravitz hanging out, chilling.
So
and me.
We didn't get a Lenny Kravitz song. We just got I Kissed a Girl. And then this was supposed to be a surprise, but it was not.
Everybody
it came out
knew,
early. Everybody knew Missy Elliott was coming out.
Just reminded me how much I loved Missy Elliott.
Mm-hmm. Even though the news came out that she was going to perform, I was still hyped up when she came out.
Yeah.
Because I kind of forgot that she was coming. Holla.
I don't like it when Katy talks like that, though.
I don't like that part, Katy. You don't like her stage voice?
I don't like that stage, no. Super Bowl, let me hear you, Super Bowl. Okay.
You know who has that same voice?
That.
Nicole Scherzinger has that same thing when she used to perform.
Yeah. I don't get that. They all go into Oprah.
Yeah.
Oprah started that, yeah.
You get a performance.
But
Missy.
Dr. Phil.
everything went smoothly with the halftime show. Visually,
perfectly. It was really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Visual on that. The thing they did on the field, the lights.
They made the stage look like it was warped and stuff. Thing, you know, the lights, the way they made it kind of roll. Yeah. That was cool. I love the dancing sharks.
The beach balls, the dancing sharks. The dancing...
sharks are getting grief. People are saying the sharks messed up the choreography. I was like, who cares? No. They were dancing sharks.
Sharknado up in that bad boy. Yeah.
How you going to get on the sharks for their dancing?
You can't.
They're sharks.
They're big shark puppets and their mouths moved.
The palm trees were singing. The balls were singing.
The sharks lip synced better than Katy Perry.
That would have been funny if they had one of those beach balls up there with the Patriots logo and it was slightly deflated. I thought that would have been a good touch, but they didn't go with it.
Y'all ready to hit on the commercials a little
bit? Yeah, we should hit the commercials because nearly 7,000 Super Bowl commercial enthusiasts rated this year's ads on a scale of 1 to 10.
Uh-huh.
So here's your top 10 Super Bowl commercials according to the meter. You want to go backwards or forward?
Let's go backwards.
Yeah, backwards.
Yeah.
Number 10 was the Doritos When Pigs Fly.
Okay.
That scored a 6.4. That was the one where the kid wanted Doritos and the guy says, yeah, you can have some when pigs fly. So he created a rocket and attached a pig to it. Very unsafe. I feel like a lot of kids are going to try that.
Doritos is in a tough spot because they've really knocked it out of the park with commercials in years past. You know, they do the commercials that are so weird and have you just cracking up. So they were all right.
We would play that for you, but it's very visual. It's not very, you don't have to talk to it. Then the tearjerker, the Nissan with dad. Mm. I feel like every commercial was targeting dads. Like, because they know we're watching.
Dad's watching Super Bowl.
And they want us to cry. And they made us cry.
I had to pull out my phone and call my son. Hey, son.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah. And you hung up and called the other one. And then you hung up and
Dad.
Called the other one.
Yeah. How many calls you have to make out?
I was mad. I was like, I'm blowing up.
Number 8.
I sent a text. I just sent a group text. I love y'all.
Let's be honest.
Number 8 was the Coca-Cola Make It Happy.
Dang, I missed that.
So it was on the plane.
I didn't see any of
it. It basically was, again, visual, but it was people hating, and you go to TV and they're hating on people, and you go to Twitter and there's haters, and then a dude spills Coca-Cola on the internet server, and then everything turns happy.
Spilled Coca-Cola when it would probably break the internet.
Feel good.
But
he broke the internet.
It made everyone happy.
Apparently, Coca-Cola fixes the internet.
Okay.
Then the number 7 was Toyota, My Bold Dad. I don't remember this one. Which one was this one? It was number 7.
I don't know. I didn't see that one.
I don't remember. I don't even remember.
There's a few standouts in my head, but you go ahead. I'm going to do the list.
Yeah, our standouts were not the same as these ones.
Oh, okay.
Then you have Dodge, the Wisdom one.
All right.
Which also didn't stand out to me.
Lots
now we're
cards.
Top 5.
All right.
Again, this was 7,000 people that rated these.
Was that the old people advice?
Oh, yeah. That was
we
the old people. We do have that one.
Yeah.
Let's play that one, Shannon.
I'm 100 years old. And I want to tell the world what I have learned.
Live for now, because life is good. You make it good.
You will learn not to cheat.
There are miracles all around you.
Stay young.
Always tell the truth.
Keep your eyes open and sometimes your mouth shut.
Yeah. And then it flashes to them driving the Dodge extremely fast, which is not safe for old people to do.
And I bet their left blinker was on, too.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to get old.
Why not, Kelly? Look how fun they are.
All I got from that commercial is we're all going to get old.
Yeah.
But they're having
fun. And no matter how much face cream you use, you still going to get a wrinkled smoker face. It just doesn't matter.
They got a paycheck, Kelly. They're on TV.
But they're so old.
Joan Rivers looked good, and she was like 80-something.
And now she's not alive.
Yeah, but she was old. But she looked good. You know?
But she's dead.
So glad I didn't see these.
Oh, Kelly.
That's not the point of that commercial,
you had,
Kelly.
The commercials were all so sad.
That was not the point of the commercial.
We're just getting older sitting here.
Kelly, you're depressing me. Shut up.
Yeah. I thought it was a good commercial. You know, it was nice.
As the oldest person in the room.
Until they go into the cars driving fast. And I was like, that's not supposed to be happening. Number 5 was another Doritos. It was the middle seat. Again, that was very visual.
Okay.
Guy sitting on the plane. We all do this. Where they say, hey, grab any middle seat because they're all basically taken. So grab the next middle seat. So he's doing all the gross things. He's clipping his toenails. He's on the phone talking about the disease he has, which Kid Craddock used to do all the time on the plane, which was hilarious.
And then he sees a hot chick.
Then the hot girl comes up. And then you got to put your best face forward. And as soon as she's about to sit down, turns out she has a baby with her, which is, again, some people's nightmare.
On a plane. Yes.
And she sits down next to him.
All right.
Number four was Microsoft Braylon.
I saw Microsoft.
Yeah, the Microsoft ones were good.
What's Braylon mean?
I don't know. I forgot that one.
Oh, is that the older black lady? With the, on the bus? On the bus?
Oh, no, no. It's the kid with the missing legs.
Oh, that was
extremely inspiring commercial. Yes. So it was a Microsoft.
We just talked about technology.
Yeah, and how far we've come.
Okay.
Then you had the number three one was Fiat, the blue pill. And that's the guy that's the lady's ready to get it on.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
And he drops his blue pill and it goes all over town and it lands in the gas tank.
The Viagra makes the car bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And cooler.
Great.
Yeah. And goes faster.
And all the girls want it.
Yeah. Again, that was visual. Then the number two was the Always commercial, which almost made me tear up. The hashtag like a girl.
Okay.
Because we've made like a girl be it's negative, you know, when you say, oh, you run like a girl. And they show girls that are in their 20s and 30s, and they're doing the whole legs up. They don't know how to run. And guys do the same thing. And then you ask a little girl, run like a girl. They run fast. Throw like a girl. They throw extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
We have that one for you. Here it is.
Show me what it looks like to run like a girl.
Over here.
Show me what it looks like to fight like a girl.
And just flapping their hands, slapping.
Now throw like a girl.
Aw.
Picture Al
throwing
a ball.
So do you think you just insulted your sister?
See, that's
no.
What you just did, JC.
I mean,
yeah, insulted girls, but not my sister.
My name is Dakota, and I'm 10 years old.
Show me what it looks like to run like a girl.
She's running extremely fast, very well.
Okay.
Throw like a girl. Fight like a girl. What does it mean to you when I say run like a girl?
It means run fast as you can.
That's one of those commercials where you're sitting there watching the Super Bowl and you go, man, I'm a jerk.
You just did it. You told Al he throws like that.
Yeah.
Do you hear yourself? You insulted
I
Al
took it,
and
yeah.
me in the process.
Wait, so that was a commercial for pads?
It's a joke, yeah. And then it's a pad commercial.
Oh, my
I thought
gosh.
It would be for Dove soap because they're the ones always doing
it. No,
it
was always pads.
And now the maxi pads are getting in on it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But the hashtag is great,
Say
Kelly.
That.
The hashtag is great. Like a girl. That's something we should all get on.
All right.
I apologize.
Good.
Now,
okay.
I made fun
then
of
you guys
didn't
make up for it. Where are some pads?
Huh?
Wear a pad.
Wear a pad?
Yeah.
I ain't wearing no pad.
You should have like a football player instead of shoulder pads. Just have a bunch of pads on this. That would have been great. Okay, what was number one?
And the number one commercial,
according to
7,000 people that rated it from a scale of 1 to 10. Budweiser, you done it again with that lost dog and the horses.
Oh, man. That had guys with tears in their eyes.
Isn't that the same thing they did last year?
Basically.
Oh, because it was
sweet. But with a puppy.
The puppy ran away. The puppy ran away. The puppy found his way home, and the puppy almost got attacked by a wolf. And then on his way home, and he was dirty. And then the Clydesdales broke out of the pen, and they went and saved the puppy. And then the puppy leads him back home.
Just like a crew of five big horses, we're like, "Hey, wolf, you want to come get this?" No, that's our puppy. Extremely tearjerker.
There you go.
Such a good
hit it out of the
such
park.
A good commercial. Dang it, Budweiser.
I'm gonna start drinking beer.
What happened to was that? And the frogs. And now they're making us cry.
But the worst one, Kelly, at least what people are saying was the worst one, was the Nationwide commercial with the little kid.
Kelly, you need to. I wish she had seen this one in particular.
I'm sorry. I feel so bad that I missed
this. This is one of the first ones when everyone's still really paying attention in the beginning because it was like right at the beginning of the game and everyone's watching. And I'm at
Nationwide
this Super Bowl party. And it just
side.
Starts showing. Yeah, it's showing this little boy doing all of these wonderful things.
Play it, Shannon.
Can we play it?
This is labeled Nationwide.
Yeah.
Kid dies.
Uh-huh.
He dies?
Well,
I don't know.
Listen
that's
to the commercial.
That's how it's labeled. I don't know.
Everybody's angry.
Yeah.
I'll never learn to ride a bike. Or get cooties. I'll never learn to fly.
Or
travel the world with my best friend. And I won't ever get married. I couldn't grow up. Because I died from an accident.
What? What?
At Nationwide, we believe in protecting what matters most. Your kids. Together, we can make safe happen.
Right. I think if you would have turned down your volume during this commercial, you would have heard everybody in the world going, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they do that. So this kid's dead. So he's not going to do these things. So what is it saying? So buy insurance so you get money?
Right.
When the kid dies, that's
the
point.
What are you doing? What is this?
And then the things they show is the bathtub. I mean, I understand household accidents. Yeah. You know, with children, it
the
is
TV
a big
falling
concern.
Over.
But those are the three they chose that he got under the cabinet and ate detergent.
Kelly.
That he drowned in the bathtub and a TV crushed him.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there with my.
I didn't get this at all.
I know.
To say the least.
I'm sitting there with my son and I'm like earmuffing him because I don't want him to hear this.
Oh, that's awful.
And my son is sitting there going, he die, Papa? He die? He die? What's die? I die, Papa? Worst commercial you could have played during the Super Bowl. Or
right
ever.
At the beginning, too.
Or in life.
A damper
yeah,
on the whole
just,
thing.
Just, like, everybody's like putting their drinks down. I'm like, hey, no.
Mama. No.
It's a, but it was just.
It'd be, I guess
depressing.
It'd be one thing if it was a PSA, you know?
But it's
like
not.
When they do drunk driving.
Yeah, that's
they do PSAs for things like childhood, like household accidents.
That'd be worse if it was a drunk driving commercial at your bar.
No.
I would have turned
on the TV.
I don't understand. Like, what? So buy insurance so you get paid?
Right.
I don't know. That was awful.
I don't know who was thinking about putting that.
Somebody,
during the Super Bowl.
Trust me, somebody is fired today.
Yeah,
or because more people are talking about it than any other commercial.
No,
that person's getting a
negative.
Who knows?
People are talking.
Any publicity, Kelly? Any publicity is good publicity. We're talking about it. We spent more time talking about that doggone Nationwide commercial than any other one that we played.
It's the worst.
So
it doesn't make me want to get Nationwide insurance.
No.
I want to know if were they sitting in a meeting and they're like, oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, Bob, good job.
Yeah.
Let's put that on there.
Sure.
Let's put a little kid dying. Yeah.
They spent millions of dollars on that commercial.
During the happiest day for the United States, it's the Super Bowl. Yeah, let's play a little kid dying. Why not? So angry about that.
Deep.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Attention, Walking Dead fans. Listen up this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for the walkers from AMC's The Walking Dead to attack. It could happen at any time during our show. When you hear them devour one of us, be the 13th caller, and you can win a trip to the premiere of the next season in L.A. You and a guest will get airfare, hotel, and tickets to a special winter welcome party, and you get to attend the star-studded season 6 premiere of The Walking Dead. The mid-season return of The Walking Dead is this Sunday night, 9/8 Central on AMC.
That's still a big deal.
Still a big deal, Kelly.
People love it.
Still a big deal.
I know they do.
In fact, you're out in Hollywood. Did you run into any Walking Dead peeps?
No, Jason.
That's my seg right
there.
I
didn't make it onto set.
Oh, dang.
No, we do a show called Dish Nation.
Yeah.
It's on the television.
Yeah, it's not Dish Network. It's Dish Nation.
No, you don't have to have a satellite to get it. Just check your local listings. You can find out where to watch at dishnation.com. But I went out because... You know, we've been talking the past couple of weeks to Lisa Gibbons about The Celebrity Apprentice, which the ratings are just going crazy. What they've done this season, instead of doing 1 2-hour episodes, they're doing back-to-back. Did I say 1 2-hour? Yeah. Instead of doing 1 2-hour episode, they're doing back-to-back 1-hour episodes.
Okay.
And people like that better because it's more, you know, you get the information, you're satisfied. Somebody's fired. You get it, and they're instead of dragging out one episode and getting rid of one person. So it's been doing really great. The live finale is coming up in 2 weeks on February 16th. So I went out to interview Lisa Gibbons.
Still in it.
And she's kicking butt. And tonight is going to be crazy. If you follow Real Housewives of Atlanta, I don't think you do. You'll be familiar with crazy Kenya Moore.
Okay.
She's the one people don't like.
No, she's horrible. I would love to talk to somebody who can defend her because she's horrible. And she's on there with Vivica Fox. And because I watched the previews last week, of course, Lisa can't say anything. They'll sue the pants off of her. So I know from last week... Apparently, Kenya stole Vivica's phone. That's against the law.
You can't do that.
And then went on her Twitter account and tweeted about having menopause and how she's crazy and all this stuff.
What?
Which, as an actress, when you know you're putting out there how old you are, that kind of limits your ability to take roles. It's going to be so ugly in
Twitter
the morning
hacking.
Tonight.
Oh.
Because we do that here in the office, but we're friends.
Yeah, but yeah, we aren't calling the police. But anyway, hashtag PhoneGate is what they're doing
tonight.
So after I interview Lisa Gibbons, of course, I'm a nervous wreck because I always, you know, I'm interviewing a woman who is an expert. I mean, she was Entertainment Tonight. She was extra. This is what this woman said her whole life, and I'm going to interview her. It's like insulting.
On our little show.
But she was wonderful. She was very gracious, generous, gave me some great advice.
What kind of advice?
Yeah, what
like
she
career advice?
Hold on, Kelly.
I may or may not share it.
So I think that was like an underlying purpose for this whole trip, like going out there trying to rub elbows with Lisa Gibbons to get a career move going.
So anyway, after we left our interview with Lisa, my friend John and I, who bears a passing resemblance to Michael Kors, we found out. When I posted a picture of us going to L.A., somebody thought, I didn't know you were friends with Michael Kors. And I looked at John. I was like, oh, he does kind of like Michael Kors. Anyway.
He should start dressing like him, wearing the black T-shirt and aviators always.
Right? So we were like, where are we going to go to lunch? It was late. It was a little bit before 2. But
go somewhere where you see some celebs, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm here. I'm a fan of celebrities more than anybody, right? Yeah. And I want to see celebrities.
Right.
We went to Boa Steakhouse the night before, and I swear, I'm like, oh, I think that's Ryan Gosling. I don't know why I said
no way.
I'm like, that has to be Ryan Gosling. Is that Ryan Gosling? Of course, I'm not going to go ask him. So I'm across the room, and I zoom in as tight as I can with my iPhone.
You got a man bun?
I'm like, I think that's Ryan Gosling.
Showing it on Kid TV. Showing a picture on
and
Kid
I'm
TV.
Like, but I'm never going to ask him. He's talking to some man in the bar, like these big businessmen, and he's just very casual. He's got a little man bun, which I'm like, I'm not sure if Ryan Gosling has a man bun right now.
Because man buns are so in.
Yeah. I don't know.
Man buns are so in.
But if it is Ryan Gosling,
what do y'all
think? He's scrawny. That's all I'm going to say about
that. What?
He's scrawny.
Scrawny?
Scrawny?
Small. Scrawny.
Oh, scrawny.
Scrawny.
So that was
or scrawny.
That was Friday night.
Shout out to
that was the only person I saw at Boa.
Yeah.
But if it was Ryan Gosling, it was him.
If it was him?
You
were
with the fake Michael Kors.
Or his stunt double.
If it's he's scrawny.
Scrawny.
All right, thank you.
So then Saturday after we interview Lisa, we're like, well, let's go somewhere. So we're driving by Pump.
What's that?
Lisa Vanderpump.
Oh, okay.
From Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And we see paparazzi. Well, something's going on. So I'm looking and I see this really ridiculous, it's this unusual cartoonish red shade of hair.
Mm-hmm.
Carrot top!
And next to her is this girl with lavender gray hair. It's Sharon and Kelly Osbourne. Do I have to spell it out for you?
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know Sharon had red hair.
Well, that's big. Yeah.
So Kelly Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne, they're going into Pump. We have to go.
Why not?
Why not?
I mean, it's a public place. We can go to Pump.
You're Kelly Raspberry.
So we're like, let's do it. So we circle around the block. We go to valet. $12 to valet in the parking lot.
That's cheap in Hollywood.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, wait a minute. While you're walking in, you said there's paparazzi out there.
Let Kelly tell her story.
I just wanted to ask a question.
Don't.
Okay, go ahead.
So we park, and the parking lot's across the street. So we cross the sidewalk, and we see paparazzi. They're clicking at people going into Pump.
Yeah.
So we just start walking up.
Wait,
and suddenly,
so you self-parked?
Yeah, you don't want to pay $12.
There's no valet. What it is, this is like a stream of, there's like three places. The Abbey, this place called Here, and then Pump.
Yeah.
The Abbey is the number one gay bar
gay
in the
club.
Whole world.
Oh, we've been there. Yeah.
Abbey.
Yeah,
it's in the world. But there's a lot of straight people that go there, too.
Yeah,
it's like a mix.
Okay.
But it's the number one. It's like, anyway.
They got the best booty shaking.
So you park and you're going.
So they all share. They all three, because you can't in L.A. They have the same parking lot they share.
Okay.
So you're going to Pump. You park.
I park the car. I'm walking up the sidewalk, and suddenly the cameras and the paparazzi start clicking away at me and John.
Yes!
They think it's Michael Kors.
Yeah,
so
no!
I just kind of put my eyes like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? We have to keep walking. We're just going to lunch at Pump.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, my God, that's...
No? So finally, they stop filming John. And I guess because I'm dressed up, I just got back from interviewing Lisa Gibbons. So I'm wearing a nice dress. I'm wearing... My hair's done. I have makeup on more than, you know... The guy starts saying, so are you so excited for, oh God, I just went blank.
Terry.
Are you so excited for Terry? I said, so excited. This really great about Terry, isn't it? I said, it's so great. I'm just playing along.
Okay.
And they finally said, well, have fun at the party. I said, thank you, I will. And we're like, oh my God. So we walk around the corner and we get to the door and it says closed for a private party.
Oh, no, Kelly. Oh, no. Oh, no.
So you have here we are. We're like, we have to keep walking.
Yeah.
Because we can't go in. We'll get kicked out.
You're with Michael Kors, though. It's okay.
Yeah.
And we have no gift for the baby.
It's fine.
So we have to keep walking. We're like, oh, my God, we can't turn around because the paparazzi will know we're nobody.
You have to tell Terry how excited you are.
So we go around the corner, and we end up in this alley. I'm like, I don't care. Just keep walking. We had to go down this alley. We are mortified, dying. We're like, oh, my God, now they think we're somebody. We're nobody. It turns out it was Terry Seymour's baby shower.
Oh.
They used to date Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
The one that talks like this.
Yeah, the rest of the world.
But she's British.
Yeah.
She's pregnant. She's like with her boyfriend's baby, and we almost crashed the baby shower.
Well, we've talked to him, And have we talked to Terry Seymour before?
Yeah.
We've only talked to Simon.
We've talked to Simon two or three times. You could say Simon.
I can't just walk in.
Yeah, Al, it's invite only.
You're supposed to say Simon invited me.
But I mean, I'm like, they're asking me, are you so excited for Terry? I'm like, I'm so excited.
You have no idea.
Oh, I can't wait to see
so
the video.
So great about Terry is, and I'm like, so great. That's all I can say. So excited.
You have no idea which
so
Terry.
So great. So I know they're going to go back and look at all their footage and be like, who was, well, obviously, no one. I kept on walking, that it was nobody.
Who was that redhead? With Michael Kors.
So I was so devastated.
Did you cry, Kelly? Because you cry in those situations.
We were laughing. We just walked around. We looped back, and we sneaked into the Abbey, and we ate a salad. And then I said, we need to go shopping while I'm here, because we had some time to kill or meeting somebody else for dinner. So I said, can we go to Target?
Oh, my.
You're from Pump to Target?
So, well, we found this strip where it was not only Target, but it was Marshall's and Nordstrom's Rack.
Oh, my God.
You're the only woman that goes to Hollywood and Beverly Hills and goes to Target and Marshall's.
So dollar store. Dollar store.
They did this in Vegas.
But guess what? In L.A., they call Target City.
Hmm?
But I knew Target it was Target because it had the bullseye.
Just City?
City. So we go up to we get to the cashier because, John, we're just trying to. So we went there. Anyway, we get the checkout, and the girl said, are you Kelly Raspberry?
No way.
The girl that checked me out at Target and recognized me. She said, my husband loves you on Dish Nation.
That's awesome.
Yes. So shout out to Genevieve, my checkout girl at Target.
In Hollywood.
You tell her you know Alex from Target?
I didn't.
No.
I was just so thankful that she redeemed me from my paparazzi incident.
You know how upset you would have been if you had actually paid that $200 a valet and you couldn't get into the party? You would have been so
I didn't get in the party.
Yeah.
She There's my little $1. Moment.
You had fun, though, Kelly?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, you go to L.A. and it's the weather. It's like, oh, my gosh. We got there and it was drizzly and kind of rainy. But, you know, that's only going to last a minute.
Right, right.
Every day is sunny and 72.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is just, you know, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like if I lived here, I'd do better because everything's a juice bar or people coming in and out of Pilates studios with their yoga mats. You're like, I want to be one of those people so bad. And I think we ended up going back to Pump later when it was open. Cause like, I'm not leaving here without going to Pump. And I'm sitting there. I said, I think I recognize that guy from the reality show. Cause
they
did
work
a
there.
Lot of stuff there and couldn't have been nicer. Everybody was so great. But of course, you know, I don't want to live there. I don't have anything to do there.
How'd your audition go?
Embarrassed.
Yeah.
I'm not really at liberty to talk about
it. You took a meeting.
How'd your audition go?
Yeah. How'd your meeting go?
I'm not really at liberty to talk about
that. Did the project get green lighted?
Oh, it's green. It's the project is going ahead, but is it going ahead with me?
That's Kelly Raspberry is Marshawn Lynching us.
Oh, yes, she is. Yeah.
Well, there's some things I can't talk about.
I just hear someone will get fined.
Or it'll blow it.
If you know what Kelly did in Hollywood, let us know.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.